It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
Thank you on the Press Box Morning Show. A wonderful, beautiful Friday morning. Thank you for joining us. We'll have Ryan Hockey Guy at 7:48. We'll also have head football coach Tony Sanchez before they get on the plane to Nashville. And we'll also do Brad Powers in the second hour going over NFL and college football. Eric Winalda is set to join us as well. But joining us now is Dr. Caleb Pinneger, Southern Nevada sports injury expert with Crivetti Orthopedics. You can follow him on Twitter at Vegas Sports Doc. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing real great. How are you guys?
Good job. Yeah.
Doing good. Good.
Came
thank
in here.
You.
We're talking about the Knights. Another loss last night. They got to get back to the Sharks. Where are the Sharks? I don't think they play the Sharks until November, so they might not win a game until November. That'd be a long time without a win, though.
Maybe add a friendly fire game in there just to spur them up a little bit.
Have a little soccer friendly up there in San Jose and put the boys out on the rink.
So each and every time we have Dr. Pinneger in, we go over our sports injuries in football as well as basketball, hockey, whatever we can get in. When we get you in here, we try to find out what is the timeline for guys' injuries and when they can come back conceivably, because many teams will always put the dust out there saying week to week, month to month, uncertain status, game time decision. But even for the Raiders, who are now on a bye week, we see that Gabe Jackson might be ready to come back from a sprained MCL. And we found out over the years what certain timelines are for basketball players with sprained MCLs, but football players are completely different, especially if you're an offensive guard of Gabe Jackson's stature, where you're toting around 350 pounds. So for him, it makes me feel like, since there are some guys already on the offensive line doing a good job, do they have to rush him back? And what do you think a timeline is for Jackson?
So at this point, we're already pretty convinced that it's a higher grade injury. He's been out since early August. And with that, that it wasn't a mild sprain. This is in the moderate to severe sprain. So he either mostly tore it or partially tore it or possibly even completely tore it. I didn't see an MRI, so we're speculating. But for it to already be 8 weeks, and now let's see if he's ready to play, he was on the high end of that. And if he's braced and if he's ready to go, whether he's 7'6" or whether he's 5'1", I mean, the ligament should have adequate time to heal, and he should be ready to go.
Even with his body weight.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll see a big brace on him. He's going to come back with that brace.
Yeah, that makes me wonder, especially
as a
for
guard,
guys with...
I don't know mobility. I mean, he's got to pull on some plays or everything, but it's not a running back or receiver who's having to do a lot on him. I mean, he's more power than anything. Does that help him out a little where he's not having to run or cut?
Yeah.
Or
his big injury or his big risk is somebody falling on him.
Right.
When you're there holding somebody and your guy next to you
takes your knees out.
Let's go that's exactly.
Oh well, you always see it too, especially when the slow motion when their ankles start to make contact as they get pushed towards other players.
Yep.
That's always a big injury risk factor. When you see also, we're speaking with Dr. Caleb Pinneger over at Crivetti Ortho. We have two guys with high ankle sprains this week, and there was a slight adjustment that maybe Saquon Barkley would play last night, but he might be moved maybe another week down the road. But high ankle sprains all have varying degrees too. And we see even the Cowboys, Tyron Smith with an offensive lineman, where they get one and he got rolled into, where it looked like that one it not only seriously disabled him, but he is by far one of their best offensive linemen, and him not being in the lineup is very, very painful because they can't find a way to fill him. So how long do you think guys with the high ankle sprains could be out, and do you rush them back, and when do you rush them back?
So what I like to describe when we talk high ankle sprain versus low ankle sprain, it all depends on how you rolled it, what happened. The high ankle sprain means that the two bones of the lower leg actually got compressed enough where they gapped slightly. And so the ligaments that keep your ankle tight started to stretch. And so instead of just having your ankle, when you're walking on a curb, you step funny, your ankle rolls. That's not the same idea. This is a different mechanism where ankle.
Those high ankle sprains are so swollen up towards even the kneecap almost, right?
It'll swell the whole lower leg, and they're miserable sore. And so if with the right treatment, these guys are in treatment multiple times a day, and you're talking 4-6 weeks is a good rough recovery for a severe one. Otherwise, they're... and then you got guys like Tua, Taba Haba Wuba. I can't remember how they pronounce his last name, but
to a lot of money. That's
just get ready. He's going to write you a check one of these days,
right? But so you got him. His was bad enough. He had to get a compression device internally placed inside his ankle to hold it together.
I was in London last week with the Raiders, watching them beat the Bears, and I can't believe I said this, and maybe Bears fans can't believe it, but they're like, "Hey, when's Mitch coming back after that performance?" But Mitchell Trubisky has that dislocated left shoulder and labrum tear. There are media in Chicago writing he could be back next Sunday. So that couldn't have been that bad. Major tear, could it have been?
And I saw the report saying slight. I mean, a labrum tear is a labrum tear. I mean, when your shoulder comes out of socket, the soft tissue that supports it gets stretched, pulled, potentially torn.
Right.
And if the shoulder's back in socket and if he regains his strength, regains his range of motion, and as a quarterback, it's sure tough to put one of those straps on their shoulder to keep them from going in too dangerous of a position to re-dislocate the thing. But if he gets it back, this is an injury you see a lot of guys put off to the end of the season as long as they can perform. And at the end of the season, he'd be evaluated if he did great and maybe would never need to fix it. But if it pops out again, he's done.
With Dr. Caleb Pinneger, Southern Nevada sports injury expert with Crivetti Ortho. You can go online and check them out at CrivettiOrtho.com and ICanAgain.com. We'll get into some personal stuff in just a few minutes. The hip's fine. The hip's doing good.
That's important.
Yeah.
The bursitis is good. He's walking around here pretty good this week.
Will you tell him it's not bursitis anymore? It's a serious injury.
Was this misdiagnosed in the beginning? Because he told me it was bursitis, but I think when you started giving him shots and stuff, you're like, this guy doesn't have bursitis. Like, what was the final diagnosis over Crivetti that ills this man?
Do you remember what it was called? Do you remember what we were talking about?
Well, it's a necropsy. How do I say that?
Necrosis.
That's right.
Anything that ends with SIS, necrosis. You don't want.
Yeah, it's
is this part of the whiter the bread, the sooner you're dead?
Exactly.
Kind of
this is my medical opinion. If it ends in SIS, just keep walking out. Right.
Reader's it becomes Digest. More serious.
What is it?
No, it's a early form of basically. Necrosis is talking about bone death,
form.
So the ball and socket joint is starting to basically collapse.
Already?
Yeah.
Jeez, hey, you got no hope? You got no hope. I'll be pushing you around here in a chair in a few years.
I'll be expecting that pickup any minute.
Ending with SIS, when someone is an expert, as Dr. Pinneger, it starts a conversation with this is early stage. Jesus. What a disaster. How did this happen to you?
So far, it hasn't progressed to his brain. It's not quite dementia. we're mostly just focused on that hip, but we worry how far this may progress.
Necrosis, that's right, necrosis.
Is this,
sounds Italian.
Is this something like rehab? Should he be at a gym with me? Should I have this kid out walking? What should I be doing with this kid on a weekend? Walking?
Anything you can do in your life to be more fit, to be more flexible, to lose weight. I mean, I want to tell Clay to hit the gym here because I like the guy, but, you know, he ought to hit the gym. Ed, get him out there. Get it. You go wake him up in the morning a little early.
I'm going to wake him up, and there's a lot of things you can put in one of these babies for Clay. So
you try hitting a gym with, like, a 6-inch nail in your hip. That's what it feels like. You're like, oh, I can't wait to work out the gym. Let's move on our way to fitness. All right, but Dr. Caleb Pinneger is here with us. Hey, real quick, and I feel like I ask you this all the time, but I should probably write it down. Could you explain to me what turf toe is and how chronic is this, and does that last all year? Because it seems like guys that have that early on, it wipes them out for the rest of the year, and they're always dealing with it.
It's a nagging injury. So what happens is it's the foot's planted, you go to press up on the ball of your foot to propel forward, and the toe bends back far enough to stretch and injure the ligaments on the bottom.
Oh, okay.
So you end up, it's called the plantar plate. There's a series of ligaments and the capsule of the joint, and by stretching it that far, it becomes inflamed, potentially partially torn. Of course, like anything, there's different grades of how severe this thing is. But once it's injured, I mean, that's a mechanism you're going to repeat all year. Right?
Yeah, I've always over and over. Turf toe's always been interesting because I think people, when they hear turf toe, especially in NFL players, like people have this kind of like almost jealousy. They're like, you can't play. All you got is turf toe. And they've never had turf toe. But it's almost like it needs a more serious name to it, because when you hear it, I hear people all the time, like, it's just turf toe. It's like, you've never had turf toe. And for a guy like Devontae Adams or whoever, whose job it is to be as fast as he can and cut every time he plants that foot at that level, it just must be like shooting pain. So I'm like, you know, I always laugh because I'm like, I wish it was called something more serious, because I think people don't let these guys off the hook. Like, why can't he play with that? But he it's an issue.
Yeah, you ought to start saying, he ruptured his plantar plate.
Yes.
People that, be like, whoa.
SIS, first stage, and rupture. Yeah, you start throwing these names around, then we'll give these guys more of an excuse. But ruptured plantar. Sam Darnold, wanted to get to this. Sam Darnold's been out with mono. I guess he's playing against the Cowboys this week. But, yeah, as the New York media will do, they've had a lot of fun with the mono and how do you get mono and everything. But but he's worried, or at least the trainers are worried, about his spleen. So can you explain to people listening where the mono and the spleen comes in? And if he does get hurt, I mean, if he does get hit, like, what spleen? There's another word you don't want to hear very much from a doctor. So if he gets hit in the spleen, how dangerous could that be?
Well, and we're going to throw out the rupture word again.
Oof.
So when you've got mono, it's an infection that's a virus, and with part of the disease, with part of that condition, the spleen starts to swell. And so on exam, you feel their belly and you can feel this lump in the lower part of the, in the upper part of the left side of the abdomen. And as that starts to swell, if they take contact to it, it is, I mean, people don't usually die from mono. But if you're going to die from mono, the most common reason is your spleen ruptures.
Oh, God.
And
man.
So if you take, so for contact sports, for a guy that can take a shot to the belly, if you rupture your spleen, you're having emergency surgery. And so
they, why is he playing this week? I mean, there must be things where they've checked.
Yeah, they'll check. You can ultrasound it, you can get a CT scan. There's ways, and you can just check it. You can put your hands on him and feel if that's still swollen. And when the swelling's gone, when you're far enough, it's usually 3-4 weeks into having mono that spleen enlargement starts to go away. And once you're to that point, then now you're safe to get smacked in the belly again.
We're talking irreparable damage, though, to organs, right? I mean, like...
Well, if that happens, the spleen's gone. You take it out.
Right.
Oh.
Which, you know, not the end of the
appendix?
World. It's a little more important than the appendix, but it's in the category of things you can live without.
If you take Clay's spleen out right now as we're on there, is he okay tomorrow?
I mean,
does he need the spleen? You probably do have a healthy spleen.
Day to day. I got turf spleen.
So, right?
His necrosis. You could take it out and how would he be? If you took his spleen out.
You know, he might not come to work tomorrow, but we'd get him back.
But he'd be okay in the future.
Oh, yeah.
He's not looking for a spleen on the internet or anything. We wanted to ask you this, a really, really good friend. I want to ask you this, and I know, you know, just because of your medical profession, and we hear things all the time, but a really, really dear friend of ours, Robert Smith, he's the color analyst for UNLV basketball, suffered a massive stroke. And I'm also bringing this up because I'd like to tell people to remember about the GoFundMe page for Robert Smith. His wife's also battling breast cancer. Really tough time for the Smith family. But Robert Smith, I was in London and I heard about this. I was devastated. I told Clay, because Robert Smith, doctor, if it's raining in Wyoming, if he's at 10,000 feet of snow, if it's 150 degrees out, he's having his run in the morning. And when we're all going out to eat at night and everyone's ordering a ribeye, he's ordering the salad. And everything Robert Smith ever did that I saw was to keep himself in incredible condition. I assume Robert's low 60s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, and you hear the word stroke, and I'm like, but I kind of pause because you hear of marathon runners having heart issues. And, mm-hmm. and I think people, and you can maybe talk about this, forget how much of this is either hereditary. You know, when I went to, I had a check up like a year ago. First thing, okay, family history. This, no. Okay, then you can wait on this. All those things about, you know, tell us about your family instead of like, what do you do on a daily basis? Can you talk about that? Because I think people who knew Robert said like, man, Robert Smith did everything right and this happened.
Oh, so with a stroke, there's two types. There's the type where either a vessel in the brain bleeds or a vessel in the brain clots. So there's two types there. And to have a family history of a blood clot anywhere, or to have a family history of another condition where your heart has an abnormal rhythm and now you're on a blood thinner and now is your blood too thin, there's so many things that can go into risks of strokes. If you're a diabetic, being African American, age over 55, there's a whole
all
lot of things. That predispose you. It doesn't mean you're for sure going to have it, but all of these are factors that start to stack up against you over time. And a lot of your family history is in there. I mean, there's people that get arthritis in their 30s. There's people that have heart attacks in their 40s. And if you look back, I mean, does the family have a history of diabetes? Does the family have a history of previous heart attacks or strokes? And not knowing some of those details about them, those start to, you combat those early. And some people, you know, the people that you go to dinner with that always order a salad, they may have already been checked, and their doctor's like, look, you are a recipe for disaster
because of your history.
Based on your history.
Okay.
And so sometimes that's been a conscious choice going forward after the doc's already told them, hey, look, you need to be really mindful because your DNA puts you in the perfect spot to have this injury.
So if you don't know the history, yeah, if you don't know the history, you can say, man, how did it happen to him? But if you don't know the history, that's
impossible.
Exactly.
Did he have a little bit of high blood pressure he was taking medication for? Was he being treated for early diabetes? He has a couple other risk factors strictly by age, race, things like that. And going forward, he would know, I have to run every morning, or this is for sure going to happen. Because the things you do to prevent this are the healthy eating, the fruits and vegetables, the exercise at least a half an hour a day. You're doing things that you know are going to help you combat it, but there's absolutely nothing you can say is never going to make it happen.
Well, we'll remind you again, the GoFundMe page for Robert Smith. Again, his wife, Gloria, is suffering from breast cancer. It is a hard time for the Smith family, so Clay has put it out a few times this week. Go to GoFundMe for Robert Smith, the former UNLV Running Rebel.
How often do you, when we're speaking of blood clots, how often has somebody come in with you and like, I have a pain in my calf, and I don't know what it is, if I pulled a muscle or something. Next thing you know, you're like, well, we can see through the MRI that you probably have some clotting issues. How often does that happen?
We see it a couple times a year. Someone come in and say, you know, I just thought this calf pain would go away. And you look at it and you say, this is not like a calf strain or a, like, you got to, and we'll send them for usually a stat ultrasound. And if it comes back negative, then okay, we're dealing with the less minor issues. But we want to confirm, and it's not every month, but it's several times per year that I'll send a person straight to one of the imaging centers or straight to the ER and say, do not pass go. Let's look at this first. Because that calf pain, that clot that can be in your leg, at any moment, suddenly it's in your lung.
Yes.
And within minutes of that happening, game over.
And we're speaking with Dr. Caleb Pinneger with Crivetti Orthopedics. You can go online to CrivettiOrtho.com or ICanAgain.com. A sports injury expert here in Southern Nevada. And, I mean, for you, how busy of a time is this for you? Because especially you want to tell people if you've, like, you've had a lot of fun over the summer, but, yeah, you may have some nagging little problems, little issues. How do you get that resolved? And because you guys are always there for that.
Oh, of course we're always there for that. And the weather's getting awesome. Everybody's going to be getting out on the weekends, and your weekend warriors, me included, are going to be wrecking everything they can, just trying to keep up with their kids or their friends, and especially as you get the Turkey Bowl coming up.
No, sure.
Come pay us a visit. The nagging injury that's not going away after 2 to 3 weeks, there's something more to it than just, hey, I pulled a muscle.
Monday after Thanksgiving in his office. The walking wounded from those Turkey Bowl games. No stretching. Disaster.
Disaster. Yeah, well, you finally make
your whole year on that Monday, I'm sure. Right? My God.
We're going to schedule surgery all the way through next August.
You show up at 7 and just go, let's go. Line them up.
Dr. Pinneger, it's great having you in. And I know you're busy on Fridays. You got surgeries to do. You got stuff lined up, man. And thanks for making the time over here to come over and give us a few moments. Because the questions we have are important to us. We just want to make sure that we get a chance to, like, get all that stuff. But I think it's good that you come out here and at least give us the the honesty about it. Because I think sometimes we just we look at the injuries on the NFL and we're like, all right, well, they're just players on a stage. But when you bring it back home to Robert Smith and how we all kind of deal with our own issues, that makes it special because it's not always about sports. And you guys cater to a lot of ranges of people in your office that, they are just trying to get by in their daily lives, but yet they just want to get out of the house because they're tired of the hip pain that's keeping them down or the back pain that won't go away. But you guys have always done such a great job. And on the website, you could see multitudes of personal testimonials. Every day, people are coming in writing something new and saying thank you.
And that's the best part of our job, getting someone back with their own children, getting someone back with their grandchildren, getting someone back to their high school career, and the hope in the future that they can keep playing beyond that. And that's why we do it. It's great.
Go online,
you
check
alone,
it out.
You're presenting this man a challenge in his career.
His you greatest challenge.
You walk in those doors and he goes, okay, now this guy's a challenge. I can do a knee any day. I do 10 of those a day.
Him.
But when this guy comes in, there is a challenge here to figure this out.
How do we get that fat kid in the plaid and the flannel shirt fixed?
SIS, and you're in the first stages.
Yeah, that's right.
You hear rupture, I'm never talking to you again. If you go from SIS to the first stages and if his next word out of his mouth is rupture, you might as well pack it in at that
point. Yeah, we'll have this board transferred to my house and you have to do the show in my garage. Dr. Pinneger, thanks again for coming
in. Thanks, doctor.
Thank you.
It was awesome, man. Thank you for talking to us about Robert, because we hope people get to that GoFundMe. And remember, that's the thing. It's the family history. Always know your family history.
Oh, yeah.
That's really important.
There's a reason you're recommended to have a checkup. And, you know, if those things aren't getting checked up,
right,
you're setting yourself up for trouble.
Thank you.
All right. ICanAgain.com is a website. And Vegas Sports Doc on Twitter. You can follow Dr. Caleb Pinneger throughout the year. When we come back, we'll go over some of the NFL news and notes.